Well, hey, welcome. I gotta say, I'm pretty impressed. You guys, can y'all hear me all right now? All right. Gotta say, I'm pretty impressed. You guys braving the snow. I didn't know what to do tonight, man. I'm, if you don't know this, I'm from Texas. This is my first winter in the Midwest. And, did you say you're welcome? And in the South, if it you know, flurries a little bit, doesn't even stick on the ground, they cancel everything. And so up here, I'm told people aren't scared of the snow, and plus the infrastructure's a little better so y'all can get the streets clean. So glad you guys showed up. I know we got quite a few missing tonight, but those of you who showed up, this is awesome. I'm so stoked. We're closing out our series tonight, Relationship Goals. How many of you went to the SALT Conference this weekend? Woo! Yeah, it was great. It was an incredible experience for us. That was our first time to be at the SALT Company Conference. Over 2,000 students crammed into this space and just worshiping all weekend and really building momentum for these church plants that we're going to be planting this fall. Madison, Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin, Lawrence, Kansas, the University of Kansas, and even in Southeast Asia, we've got a church plant, and we weren't as vocal from the platform about that, but man, it's incredible what God's doing. And so it was a great weekend. I hope you had a good time. If you didn't get to go, it's going to come back next year. So have it on your radar for next year. I want to say this from the start tonight. At the end of this tonight, we're going to kind of do a late night Q&A. We wanted to end this series by having a short time where actually my wife and I, which, man, it's a big deal to get my woman up here. She is filled with wisdom. And so I'm excited that she's going to join me up here. After SALT tonight, we'll take like a 10-minute break when we're done. If you want to leave, you want to go, that's fine. But if you want to stay, we're going to do a Q&A. And here's how this is working. So we have put a link up online. In fact, if you go to our social media right now, not Instagram, but Facebook or Twitter, we've posted a link to a page where you can actually submit questions completely anonymously through a little Google form. And we've already gotten actually quite a few questions. And we're going to go through as many as we can get through. And so, like, this is the time for you to anonymously ask the questions that you've always wanted to ask but have been kind of afraid to ask. And now you can do it. Nobody will know it was you that asked it. So the questions tonight, though, we wanted to be focused on relationships, dating, love, marriage, sex, somewhere in that realm. And so you can do that. And I'd encourage you even now. I won't be mad if you get your cell phone out and you go to our social media, which our social media, it's all just at SALT Ankeny. So Facebook, SALT Ankeny. Twitter, it's at SALT Ankeny. And the link is on there if you want to post or submit a question. So that being said, Leslie and I flew in last night from Arkansas. And unfortunately, when we parked our car at the airport on Monday, we had to park on the upper deck where there was no covering. And then it decided to snow like it did. And then it snowed some more. And then last night when we landed at about 10:30, got to our car at about 11 o'clock, and it was snowing. So we kind of had to like dig our car out of the snow, which was fun. But man, we travel quite a bit and get the opportunity to travel quite a bit. And as I've traveled more and more, I've learned to pack light. I don't like to carry a lot of baggage with me. It's just easier to travel light. And in fact, when I was living in Lubbock, Texas, which is where Texas Tech University is, I would go home every once in a while, quick flight, Southwest Airlines, 45-minute flight to Dallas, where my family was living at the time. And I would literally, there's pictures to prove this, my mom would vouch for it, so if my mom vouches for it, you know it's true, right? I would literally sometimes just get a Walmart sack, throw in an extra pair of underwear and some basketball shorts, and take that on the plane with me. At my parents' house, I had a toothbrush there, and then I would just take the clothes I was wearing, wash them that night, wear them the next day, and packed light. It's just so much easier to travel when you pack light. And here's why I'm sharing this. I'm sharing this with you because tonight, as we close out the series, Relationship Goals, we're talking about baggage. And the reality is, we've all brought baggage into the room tonight. Some have brought some really heavy baggage into the room tonight. And I'm not talking about backpacks that are full of those, you know, $200 textbooks that you don't even read or need, to be honest. And I'm not talking about you girls who have I think I see one right here, like a purse, quote unquote, that really is more like a beach bag that's extremely full of stuff and heavy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a different kind of baggage. I'm talking about baggage that really, it represents the sin in our life, the guilt and the shame, the weight of the sin in our life. Now last week, it seems like forever ago, but last week we talked about how sex was designed by God to point us to God. And we also talked about how we are most vulnerable to sexual sin when all we have is a secondhand relationship with God. And at the end of last week, I gave a charge to the fellas that we need to lead the way by being set apart. And it's one thing for us to talk about how sex was designed by God to point us to God. It's one thing for us to talk about how we're more vulnerable to sexual sin when all we have is a secondhand relationship with God. It's one thing to talk about how as guys, and honestly as girls, we are to raise the bar as believers and live set apart. It's one thing to talk about that stuff. It's another thing altogether to acknowledge the fact that most of us have failed at all of those things. Most of us have a really broken past. Most of us have a lot of baggage. Bags full of all kinds of sin and the guilt and the shame that comes along with that sin. I mean, there's bags in here full of porn addictions. Some of you in here, you and your boyfriend, you're not being sexually pure together, and you've brought that kind of baggage in here. Some of you, you're carrying around the weight of your lost virginity. Some of you, you're struggling with homosexual desires and you're scared to let people know. Some of you, you're carrying with you the guilt and the shame of having had an abortion. Some of you, you carry around the burden, the shame, and honestly, the confusion and personal disgust at some things that happened to you in the past. Maybe you were raped, you were abused, you were molested. And so tonight, I want to answer the question that I know so many in here have, and that is, you know, what if I've screwed up? What if my past is littered with sexual sin? What if me and my girlfriend, or you ladies, what if some of you are saying, what if me and my boyfriend, who maybe you're sitting next to even tonight, what if you're sleeping together? Some of you asking, what if I'm not a virgin? It's not like I can go back and change that. What if I'm struggling with these homosexual desires and these thoughts? Some of you are saying, what if I'm addicted to pornography? What if I was raped? What if I was abused? What if I was molested? I'm broken, some of you are saying. So what about me? And there's so many bags full of sin and brokenness in the room tonight. And actually, you know, I know a lot of people didn't come tonight because of the snow. Wimps. But I know there's people that came tonight because they knew that we're talking about baggage tonight and sexual sin. And it's scary to like be in the room when that conversation is happening, when you know that that is in your life. And so they didn't come. They're going to watch it online because they feel more safe doing that at home. And regardless of your situation, my prayer for every single person that hears this is that you would see the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Over the past few weeks, we've been studying through Genesis 2 and 3. And so I want to quickly kind of recap where we've come from. Well, we started off seeing that everything was perfect in the garden. And Adam was in love, Eve was in love. Perfect thing for us to talk about leading up to Valentine's Day, which, by the way, is next week. Some of you fellas are like, oh, shoot, that's next week. You're welcome. Adam and Eve, they get married. There was no sin. There was no fighting. There was no arguing. There was perfect communication between the man and the woman. So, ladies, what that means is when Eve spoke, Adam actually listened, and he understood, and he loved her. You can say amen to that. That's a good thing. Thank you. And because of that, there was no sin. Or not because of that, but because there was no sin, because there was no fighting, because there was no arguing, because there was good communication every day in the garden. Guys, you like this? Every day in the garden was naked and not ashamed day. Every day was naked Monday, naked Tuesday, naked Wednesday, and so on. Guys can say amen to that. Yeah. But then something happened. Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And with one simple bite of a seemingly innocent and delicious-looking piece of fruit, sin busts out onto the scene and changes everything, screws everything up. And ever since this moment in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, where that happens, history has been on this sin-filled trajectory, and every human and every event has been infected and imperfected by sin. And because of that, not a single person walked in here tonight empty-handed. All of us brought baggage in here tonight. All of us brought sin and brokenness in here tonight, and many of us brought brokenness due to sexual sin. And I want you to see what Adam and Eve, what they did with their baggage. You look at Genesis chapter 3. If you haven't turned there yet, go to Genesis chapter 3. It's page 2. We're still on page 2. We've been on page 2 for 5 weeks now. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Look what happens. It says, this is right after they took a bite of that fruit. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So just like you and I do, Adam and Eve, they tried to hide their sin. So they hid behind fig leaves and a tree or bushes. But we try to hide behind a lot of different things. We use a lot of different things in our lives try to cover up the sin in our life. We try to use, you know, nice stuff, nice clothes, nice cars, nice things, good grades, some of you, a few of you, parties, popularity, success, social status, sarcasm, sense of humor, fraternities, sororities. We try to hide behind like our social media, our Instagram likes, fake smiles. We hide behind so many different things. But maybe more than anything else, I think we hide behind religion. A.W. Tozer, he wrote in his book, The Purpose of Man, he said this, they saw their nakedness, talking about Adam and Eve. They saw their nakedness and in a state of spiritual disorientation, gathered fig leaves to hide their nakedness. Thus was born fig leaf religion. And he goes on to say, religion always focuses on the externals, and Adam and Eve were consumed with their outward condition. They had lost focus of their inward beauty and purpose and no longer satisfied the criteria of fellowship with their Creator. Listen, we try to hide our brokenness and our sin behind our religion. And we go to church, we read our Bibles, we go to Bible studies, we're in connection groups, we're involved in different things, go to Salt Company Conference. In fact, I'd go even further and say that many of you, some of you at least, try to hide your brokenness, your baggage behind leadership roles. In the church, in Salt Company, behind serving, going on mission trips, serving on the greeting team out there, serving in other areas. Listen, Matthew 23:27, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So what he's saying is, it's like you look great on the outside, but on the inside you're dead. Or you look great on the outside, but on the inside you're still carrying around this heavy baggage. You know, why is it natural instinct for us to try to hide our baggage? I'll give you an example here. So a few years ago, I was on my way to South Asia with a couple of other pastors, and a friend of ours who used to be a missionary in the place we were going to South Asia, they had some friends there, and the friends had asked them if they could send with us a couple of things, one thing in particular, because it's a lot cheaper to just pack it in our bags than to mail it all the way across the globe. And so our friend asked me, she was like, hey, can you take this in your bag to these people? And I was like, yeah, sure. I said sure before I asked what it was. So I said, yeah, sure. I don't have any room in my check-in, but I can surely take it in my carry-on. I said, well, what is it? And she goes, well, it's a breast pump. And I was like, oh, it's a what? She goes, it's a breast pump. I was like, you want me to take a breast pump with me to Asia? She's like, yes, I want you to take a breast pump. And I was like, all right, I guess I can take a breast pump with me to Asia. So anyways, to make a long story short, one of the other pastors going with me, he ended up being the one to take it. And he didn't have any room in his check-in, so he packed it in his carry-on. Well, he shows up to the airport. It's going to be me, this other guy, and another guy, so three dudes. And he shows up to the airport, and he's got his checked bag, and it's packed tight, and he's got this, honestly looks kind of like a beach bag, is his carry-on, and sitting right on the top where everybody could see was this breast pump. And he shows up, and I'm like, uh-uh, no, this is not going to happen. Three dudes, we're about to go fly through Atlanta, be walking through the Atlanta airport together. Then we're going to fly through Paris, walk through the Paris airport together. Then we're going to show up in Asia, walk through that airport and and through that community. I'm not walking with two other dudes and one of them's carrying a breast pump around. Give me the breast pump. We're going to stick it in my bag. We got to hide that thing in my checked baggage. So I took the breast pump and I hid it in my checked baggage. We'll come back to that in a second. But it's a natural instinct for us to try to hide our baggage because it's embarrassing. It's gross. We don't want to look at it. We don't want others to look at it. We look at what we're hiding, or what we look at what we're hauling around in our bags, and we think, I can't be loved because of this. I can't be loved because of my addiction to pornography. Or we think things like, I have no worth because of what happened to me 2 years ago. Or I'm broken. Nobody wants anything that's broken. I'm dirty. Nobody wants someone who's dirty. I'm not new. I've been used. I no longer have my virginity. Who would want something like that? And the reality is, you look at Genesis 3. If it had been up to Adam and Eve, the story would have ended right here, with them covering themselves up, hiding behind fig leaves and hiding behind bushes. And the reality is, if it is up to many of us in this room, our story would end with us trying to cover up our junk and keep it hidden. But it wasn't up to Adam and Eve, and what I want you to see tonight is it's not up to us. You look at verse 9, Genesis 3, verse 9. It says, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Emphasis there on the first word, the word but. You've heard me say this before. You're going to hear me say this a lot more. The word but, though it's one of the smallest words in the English dictionary, it's had one of the greatest impacts on all of history. It's like the stop sign of Scripture. When you see that word but, you can't treat it like you treat stop signs in real life. No cop, no stop. You can't do that. When you see the stop, am I right? You do it. Yeah. Everybody's like, yep, sinners. When you see the stop sign of Scripture, the word but, you've got to slam on the brakes. Because just like it's true in real life, if you run through a stop sign, you risk your life by getting hit by oncoming traffic, by not seeing what's coming. Same thing happens in Scripture. When you see that word but, and you don't slam on the brakes, you could actually get seriously hurt because you don't see what's coming. And so it says here, but the Lord God called. What you have to see from these five words, but the Lord God called, is that while you are trying to hide your sin and your baggage from God, and while you're trying to hide yourself from God, God is calling out to you. And there's two things I want you to see tonight, and here's the first. But the Lord God called. Here's the first. One, God is calling us into an honest confrontation with our baggage. If you're writing stuff down, this is one of the things you want to write down. God is calling us into an honest confrontation with our baggage. He's calling us into an honest confrontation with our sin. Past sin, present sin. God's calling us into an honest confrontation with our brokenness. So going back to the flight to Asia, because of some flight delays, there were like this bad weather in Atlanta, tornadoes and stuff. It delayed our flight out of Dallas. So we flew to Atlanta, and we made our flight from Atlanta to Paris. But because that flight was so far delayed, we missed our connection from Paris to where we were going in Asia. And so we get to Paris, and everything was all messed up and out of whack. And so we're trying to figure out, are we even going to be able to get to Asia? Because it was a short trip. It didn't make sense to wait like 2 days at the airport and then go for like 2 days. And so we ended up switching airlines altogether. We ended up on Emirates Airlines. And so we ended up flying through Dubai. And then from Dubai, we went to Asia. So completely different airline, all this stuff. And in the midst of all of that, our bags got lost. And if you've ever lost bags when you've been flying, it's the worst thing ever. You get there, you show up, you're waiting for your bags, you wait till the end, you realize you don't have your bags. None of us had our bags. So what do you do when you lose your bags at the airport? Some of you are like, I don't know, never lost my bags. Maybe it's just me. You go to the lost bags counter, which is the worst thing in the world in America because everybody there's mad. The lady behind the counter's mad because everybody's mad at her, thinking it's her fault that you lost her or that she lost your bags, whatever. And so everybody's mad at each other. It's not good. But then you add into it, you're in a foreign country where there's like a language barrier, and it's way worse. So we go to this baggage counter, and we're like, hey, we lost our bags. And the first question they ask you is, what does your bag look like? Well, everybody's bags look the same, right? They're black and they're rectangular, which my bag is black and rectangular. And so they're showing us all these pictures. You point to a picture, and they're speaking broken English. They don't understand what we're speaking and vice versa. And so we point to the picture on the page. All right, black bag, whatever. Then the next question they ask you is, all right, all the bags look the same. So what was in your bag? And I'm thinking, I forgot about what was in my bag. So I'm just like, well, I got shoes, clothes, toiletries, some snacks. And she looks at me and she says, everybody has that in their bag. She's like, do you have anything in your bag that's like unique, that stands out? And I'm thinking, So I'm like, shoot, even say this? And so I kind of leaned forward because there's a lot of people around. I leaned forward to this lady and I was like, yeah, I have a breast pump in my bag. Now, mind you, language barrier. So she's like, I don't understand what you're saying. So I was like, ma'am, I have a breast pump in my bag. And she's like, I can't hear you because it was loud in there. I was like, all right, I don't want to be loud, okay? Because it's, I was like, I have a breast pump in my bag. And she goes, you have a breast pump in your bag? And I was like, shh, looking around, right? And she's like, I don't even know what that is. And so she calls some people over like this, and like three workers come over, a dude and two other girls. I'm standing there with these two pastors, and she's like, tell them what you have in your bag. And I'm like, I have a breast pump in my bag. And they're like, we don't know what that is. I was like, and sometimes you're trying to communicate with somebody, they don't understand what you're saying. You just naturally begin to yell like that's going to make it better. So by the end of this, I'm yelling in this airport in Asia, I have a breast pump in my bag. Finally, I was like, I literally did this. Finally, I was like, I have a breast pump in my bag. And they were like, oh. And so they wrote it down or whatever. And it was really humiliating. So to try to make up for it on the way back, hoping that we would lose our bags on the way back, I packed a bunch of knives in my bag. I bought a bunch of knives. I like to buy knives when I'm overseas. I packed a bunch of knives in my bag, put them right on the top, hoping that we'd lose our bags. So when I got to the U.S., I'd be like, yeah, I lost my bags. What's in it? Bunch of knives. That's right, because I'm a dude and I'm awesome. But anyways, God, he's calling us into an honest confrontation with our baggage. He's calling us into an honest confrontation with our sin. He's calling us into an honest confrontation with our brokenness. And that's exactly what Genesis 3, 9 through 19 is all about. But I want to point out two things from these verses to you. So go to verse 9. He says, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. This is Adam talking. I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Listen, Adam didn't want to deal with his sin because he was afraid. And many of you, you're scared of what others will think. Many of you, you're scared of what the consequences might be. Many of you, you're scared of or scared that God won't accept you. Many of you, you're unwilling to deal with the baggage that you're carrying because you're afraid. And so what do? You try to hide it. You try to hide it from yourself, first of all, because you don't even like looking at it yourself. Some of you, you try to hide it from others because you don't want others to see it, and then you try to hide it from God. Listen, God is calling you into an honest confrontation with those very things that you're trying to hide. We read on, verse 11. It says, God says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? So the man said, Adam said back, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Now listen to this. I don't know if you caught this, but Adam and Eve didn't want to deal with their sin because neither was really even willing to own up to it being their sin. Look at verse 11 again. So God says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And look what Adam says. He says, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. So one, he blames the woman, and really, he even blames God. He says, the woman did it, and by the way, the woman that you created did this. He points away. Sadly, this is how many of us guys are. We're unwilling to own our sin. Specifically, we're unwilling to own our sexual sin. And we say things like, well, it's not my fault she's gorgeous, you know. It's not my fault I can't keep my lips off her face, you know. It's not my fault she's pregnant. Well, scientifically, that's going to be hard to prove. We're unwilling to own our sin. And even Eve does the same thing. You know, she blames it on Satan. She says, the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Now, first of all, you got to give Eve credit. At least she doesn't throw Adam under the bus like he so quickly did to her. But even still, many of you ladies respond just like Eve. You say things like, well, he loves me, so it's okay. Or you say things like, we're planning on getting married, so it's okay. And your answers maybe are much deeper and more thought out, but they're still wrong. Listen, Adam and Eve didn't want to deal with their sin because neither was willing to own up to it even being their sin. And the same is true for many of us. So what do? We end up blaming somebody else. Listen, God is calling you into an honest confrontation with the very things you're unwilling to own up to. Verse 9, but the Lord God called. God's calling us into an honest confrontation with our baggage. He's calling us into an honest confrontation with our sin. There's something else you got to see, though. The story doesn't stop there. If you read on, God explains to the man and to the woman and to the serpent the consequences of their sin. And then you get to verse 20 and 21. We're going to skip ahead to verse 20. It says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Listen, not only is God calling us into an honest confrontation with our baggage, but God's calling us into an honest confrontation with his grace. And remember, and that's the other thing to write down, God's calling us into an honest confrontation with his grace. Remember, we have to see all of this in light of the bigger story. This is only page, now, congratulations, page 3 of a 1,000-plus page saga. As we said in previous weeks, what happened in the beginning foreshadows what will happen in the end, Revelation. And what will happen in the end, Revelation, actually gives clarity to what happened in the beginning here in Genesis. And what happened in the beginning and what will happen in the end gives meaning to what's happening right now. And one day, all of us will stand fully exposed before God. We won't be able to hide anything from him. All the layers that we're using now to cover up who we really are underneath, they're going to be removed. And all of our bags will be flung wide open. And it doesn't matter if you've got a breast pump in your bag or a bunch of knives in your bag or a whole list of names of people you slept with in your bag. It's all going to be exposed. And the only way that any of us will be able to stand naked and unashamed before God, or another way to say that is the only way that any of us will be able to stand fully exposed for who we truly are before God without being ashamed is if we've first been married to God through Christ. Or another way to say that is if we've first been clothed by God in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53 says, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, 26 to 27 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And then Genesis 3:21 says, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Listen, Genesis 3, the story of Genesis 3 takes place in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve, they stood naked and ashamed because of what happened at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there's another garden, and there's another tree, and there's another moment in Scripture when a man stood naked and ashamed. And it was in that garden, and it was on that tree, and it was in that moment that God, by his grace, chose to forever alter the trajectory of history that was set in motion here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. In one garden, sin and death came into the world. In the other garden, sin and death was defeated by righteousness and life. At one tree, Satan deceived. At the other tree, Satan was destroyed. In one moment, Adam's nakedness brought down a curse of brokenness and defeat of every man and woman to come. In the other moment, Christ's nakedness defeated that curse on the cross and offered an abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness for all who would receive it. Romans 5:17 says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Listen, God's calling us into an honest confrontation with our baggage. But God's also calling us into an honest confrontation with his grace. And I told you that that one word, but the Lord God called, that one word, but, it changes everything. And I told you that because it does. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He says, while we were still sinners. In other words, even while you struggle with sexual sin, even though you're not a virgin, even though you're addicted to pornography, Jesus died for you. And it says, verse 10, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. Even though some of you right now don't even believe in Jesus, even though some of you stand directly opposed to him, Jesus died for you. Before that, in verse 6, it says, while we were still weak, Christ died for us. Man, what a powerful message to those of you in the room who've suffered sexual abuse or rape or incest. God wants you. He wants you who were weak and were unable to stop what was happening to you. He wants that to be confronted with his grace. Jesus died for you. And so here's my prayer for tonight as we wrap this up. My prayer is that your baggage would have a violent collision with God's grace. And listen, when God's grace collides with our baggage, his grace always wins. My prayer is that this collision would result in your transformation and healing, and for some of you, even your salvation. So let me pray for us. Lord, what I feel like of this entire series, this message might be the most important, because it really ties together the loose ends of everything that we've talked about up to this point. And God, as I'm teaching this, honestly, I'm frustrated. I'm really frustrated. And I don't know if you're showing this to me in a prophetic way. I don't want to claim that it is, but as I look at this room, I'm frustrated because I see the deception of Satan in our students' lives. I see sexual sin. I see relationships that are not pure. I see dudes and I see girls that are totally wrapped up in pornography. And they would say, oh, no, 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 I'm not addicted to it. It's not a problem. But it is a problem. They don't have control over it. And God, it makes me angry. It makes me angry, honestly, not at these students, but it makes me angry at Satan. And Lord, I pray that you would finish him off. Kill him. Come finish your work. We know that you've won the war, but in your providence, in your sovereignty, in your endurance and patience, you've chosen to wait before you come back to finish it, because you want more people, like people in this room, to step into the kingdom of God by putting their faith in you. And if you come back right now, that means those people who haven't yet stepped into the kingdom of God can't step into the kingdom of God. And you, in your patience and incredible compassion and grace, are waiting on those people. So God, I pray for two things tonight. I honestly am begging you that in this room there would be an honest confrontation with our sin. One that hurts. Like deep conviction that's very uncomfortable. Because apart from that, we cannot realize how badly we need Jesus to save us. So for the students in this room, for the relationships in this room that are totally and completely impure and trying to hide it, but it's not hidden to you, Lord. It's not even hidden, I think, to everybody else. It's pretty obvious. God, would you break them? Would you convict them? For the students in this room that are just wrapped up in pornography and masturbation and just totally indulging in lust, would you break them? Would you bring them to that honest confrontation with that sin? Because it's there, it's not hidden. And then, Lord, my prayer is that you would then bring them into an honest confrontation with your grace. And where none of us in this room, including myself, deserve to have a relationship with you. None of us deserve to have forgiveness. It's not something that we can do for ourselves because, man, when those layers are stripped away and it exposes the sin that exists in our life, it's disgusting. None of us deserve any of that. All of us deserve to die immediately. God, you offer us in the midst of that your grace through your Son, Jesus. So, God, would you allow there to be a violent collision between our baggage and your grace tonight? And honestly, I don't know what else to pray other than that. So that's my prayer, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.